Welcome to God's Word for Us.com, Ghana's online Christian station. Be blessed as you listen to messages on the site.
You are listening to Pastor Elvis Ajiman. Pastor Elvis Ajiman is the founder of Great Mountain Ministry and the convener of Alpha R. Follow Pastor Elvis on podcast. Podcast added for Android users is Pastor Ajiman Elvis. And podcast for Apple users is Pastor Ajiman Elvis. And now today's message. Stay blessed.
Father, this is our song. Every knee in this room has already bowed. Every tongue in this room has already declared that you are Lord. We don't negotiate this reality. You are our master. You are our owner. You are our Lord, the Savior of our lives. Thank you. Before your throne we worship. Before your throne we give glory. As Jeremiah would say, that in your high throne is our sanctuary. We do not worship from a building, we worship from the throne room perspective. That Jesus seated on a throne, and your people have come to give you the honor that only you deserve. Thank you. Now, Lord, our hearts are open. We pray that you speak to us. In an uncommon way, Lord, we've got to hear from you. We need it. It's an emergency. Where the life and the nations are towing, Lord, it's an emergency for us to hear from you. We will miss it if we operate by our own understanding. We will miss it if we try to pave the way by ourselves. We will miss it. We need you. Give us a word for the season. Something that will bring us transformation. We have been excited for too long without transformation. Father, give us the truth of your word, that we will receive that which will take us from one level to another. We give you the glory. We thank you for what you have done already in our midst. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Please be seated in the heavenly places. I'm teaching on the heart. There is two dimensions to the operations of God. It's God giving you things and God making you two things. Many of us are into God giving us things and not into becoming, God making you into something else. But at a point in time, I got fed up with God just giving me tokens and then coming to a point when I can't believe that God is making me to something, that my experiences will be permanent with the Lord. And the Lord did me such a gracious work on me and started to tell me that one thing that could change my walk with God forever. And that one thing was the heart. The heart. And then I started doing my own research into this thing I was hearing. What at all does God mean by the heart? Then I went through several scriptures. Today I will not talk much. I will let the scriptures do the preaching. Then maybe after that, next week or something. How many of us want to see the glory of God? Are you ready for it? Yes. Somebody shout the heart. Yes. There are many things that you can impress men with, but there is only one thing that you can impress God with. The condition of your heart. The condition of your heart. Proverbs. Chapter number 4, verse 23 to 27. I want us to go strictly into scriptures for a short while. Give me the Message Bible, so that we will understand. When the Lord began to tell me the condition of my heart, you will know that He really means it. He has written it in His word. It's a command that if you don't go through it, you have no business with Him. Please get it. There are many of us trying to prove things to God with our flesh, with our lips, with our heads. He said that you exalt me with your lips, but your heart is far away. There are many of us trying to prove things to God. We pray without our heart. We give without our heart. We preach without our heart. We do business without our heart. We marry without our heart. We do many things with our heart. And yet we are telling God that, God, you've got to help me in this thing. And God is telling you that my grace flows to the heart. It does not flow to activities necessarily. It flows to the heart. And yet we have many Christians who have not gotten to this point to understand that the most important thing that you need to deal with is the condition of your heart. The condition. Look at that scripture that will bless your life. Can we all read 1-2? I want to hear a powerful church. 1-2, go. Come on, come on. Can you declare it one more time? 1-2, go. Keep vigilant watch over your heart. That's where what? That heart of yours. Somebody is pointing to a certain shape. No. That heart of yours is that man inside of you. Have you not realized that another version is inside of you? Sometimes you have not opened this mouth to speak, but something is speaking within you. There's another man inside of you that can prepare jollof inside. That's what God is referring to, the heart. God does not consider this physical body of yours. He considered a man inside of you. And He said that that is where life starts. Prayer does not start when you open this mouth to pray. It starts when that man begins to pray. Come on. He says that keep vigilant watch over that inner man, that heart. Condition that inner man well, because that is where life starts. You have not started life until you get that one in place. You've not started a walk with God until you get that one in place. The only one God wants to deal with is that one. Every beginning of your life is connected to that one. The heart. What is inside of you. Give me Proverbs 27, verse 19. Just as water mirrors your face, so your face mirrors your heart. The man talking that time didn't have a physical mirror as we have as a glass. That time, if you want to look at your face, you get a clean water, then you peep through and you find your face there. And he said that water could mirror your face. But there's another aspect of you that mirrors your true face. He said that's your heart. So if I want to see your face and you, I don't look at this one. I must find out the condition of your heart. This one deceives, but the inside one doesn't. It doesn't. That is why your whole life mirrors your heart. It does not necessarily mirror your activities. It mirrors your heart. What is happening around you is a condition of your heart. If you are failing, your heart has something to say about it. If you are succeeding, your heart has something to say about it. If you are stagnating, your heart has something to say about it. Let us face the reality. The condition of our life is a mirror of the condition of our heart. It's time we go back and begin to work out what is inside here. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7. Give us King James. One to go. Look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man what seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the what? This is the difference between God and man. I look at the way you are dressed. God looks beyond the way you are dressed. He looks into your heart. If you are dealing with me, you need to dress well. If you are dealing with God, you need to put your heart in shape. Get this. If you are dealing with a man, you need to appear well. Samuel saw the sons of Jesse, and then he said, this one is the one God has chosen. And then God comes back and tells that, that is your problem, man. That is your problem. You look at stature, you look at countenance, you look like who has money to spread, you look like who has the beauty, who has that eloquence. He said, that is your problem. Man looks at the outward, but God. The problem is that if men were in control of this world, then this is okay. But God is in control. Therefore, the people must put their heart in shape. Because the one that is in control of this world is not impressed with the way you look. He is not. Men may clap for you. Men may think that you are the best. Have you not realized that the most efficient in the kingdom, sometimes they are the ones that fast the most. Sometimes, do you know why there is so much envy and jealousy in the kingdom? Because those who are not seeing the glory of God feel they deserve it. Because to them, they can put up a certain 7 days dry fasting. They can put up a certain 21 days dry fasting. But beyond that fasting days, it's a heart that God wants to consider. It's a heart. So to us, I can look at the way you appear and say that no, you must be a head of department. I can look at the way you appear and I can tell that this girl will be good for you. And I will quickly work out something for you. But you see, speaking unknown tongues. Listen, this is your prayer. Lord, work out my heart. For 30 seconds, lift up your voice. Listen to me. From where we have gotten to now, you should know that we are dealing with a very serious matter. You should know we are dealing with a very serious matter. The one to promote you does not check your outward look. The one to help you does not check your certificate. The one to heal you does not check necessarily what you are saying. The one to elevate you does not check your height. He checks your heart. You can deceive me with the way you look. You can deceive me with the condition of your heart. But you cannot deceive God. Get it. There are some of you right now here that you have successfully proven to your husband that you are a good person. You have proven to your wife that you are a good person. You have proven to pastor that you are a very excellent person. But it's left with the one that knows your heart. He is left. Let me show you another scripture. Jeremiah chapter 17 verse 9. Can we all read it? One, two, go. Who can what? The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. The question is, who can know it? All the 8 billion people on earth can never know your heart. But there is one seated in heaven. Verse 10. Who can know it? But the Lord says the heart. I try the reins even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. God says that it's okay if nobody knows you, but I will search. I will search. It's okay that no man among the 8 billion people know your heart. It's fine, but I, the Lord. Then he continues by saying, I will give. So the one who finally gives to you the pass mark and the test of your life is the condition of your heart. Have you not realized that sometimes God is merciful to people we tag as evil? Because sometimes those we tag as evil have a very tender heart. Those we tag as spiritual have a very proud heart. And God will check. God will check. You may go and fornicate, God will kill you. David will go and fornicate, God will spare him. Because after fornication, he goes to lie down. And then begin to cry out to God, create in me. After fornication, he goes to lie down. But you too, after prayer, you go about and say, I have prayed, something will happen. Between you and David, David will see God. You will miss him. Because it's never about prayer. It's about the heart. It's about the heart. Two people are praying that God give me money. One has a heart of compassion. Lord, I see the poor and I am in pain. Give me money. Another two is saying that God give me money so that my family will know that me too, I was not a rejected child. The heart. The heart. One will go back with a miracle, financial miracle. Another will go back with no miracle and will be asking. There are times that we pastors, we try to force God that God, this one is good, you must do something for him. But God is the one that checks. He has the thermometer. The Bible says he weighs the actions of men. The heart of man is desperately wicked. Who can know it? No man can know it, but I, God, I search. So sometimes men don't know why I'm not helping this one. But what they don't know is that I have a searching machine they don't have. Anytime you see somebody rising far above you, don't go far. Check the condition of a person's heart. Check it. Check it. No wonder when God was coming, do you know the grandmother of Jesus? Rahab. Rahab. A prostitute. Living in Jericho. But this prostitute could tell the spies that we know that the God that delivered you from the hands of those kings and caused you to command. He said, we know. When we hear your name, we shake. He said, I know God has given you this land. Prostitute. How did he know? How did she accept it? When good people were trying to force the reality out of them that God is not powerful, a prostitute sat down and said, we know this guy. And see, when God begins to see the heart of a person, forget about the activities of the person. This is the confusion of this kingdom. That's why people we don't expect them to be powerful are powerful. People we don't expect them to be blessed are blessed. People we don't expect them to be elevated are elevated. Why? Because they have a heart we don't have. Why do you want to be anointed? To prove a point. Another wants to be anointed because he sees the sick and he's in pain. Our heart. Let me read this to you. Luke chapter 6 verse 45. One to go. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is what? For you to be a good man has something to do with what is in your heart. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth what? That which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart, his mouth. Your problem is your heart. A good man is connected to his heart. An evil man is connected to his heart. Out of what is in their heart, their mouth speaks. Let's go to Matthew 15. Verse number 8. Can we all read one to go? These people draw nigh unto me with what? Their mouth. So they come with their mouth. They come. Oh, I love God. Oh, I love God. I love prayer. I love giving. I love to preach. I love to do good. I love to be patient. I love to be humble. I love to be that. God knows when it is only your mouth talking. God knows. These people draw nigh unto me with their mouth and honored me with their lips, but their heart is far. God is not moved by the many things we say. He's moved by the condition and the activities of that inner man, our heart. Our heart. That's what we are seeing today. People have their hands lifted, but their minds are not here. People have their mouths singing words they have not yet discerned. Hallelujah, we will sing hallelujah. Every knee will bow down. Every knee will bow down. Your knee is standing. So you are singing to which knee to bow? Every knee will bow down. Which knee should bow? If it is not your own knee that should bow, which knee should bow? We lift your name higher than the hands are in the pocket. These are realities. These are realities. Listen, don't be comfortable with the little job you have and you're getting a salary and you think you are fine. There is so much in God that He can cause you to experience. But you are missing the principles of the kingdom. You are missing it. They exalt me, honor me with their mouth, but their hearts are far. Go ahead. Verse 9. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. They do worship me in vain. That means there can be a whole service and we all go back in vain. When our hearts were not connected. Do you know what it takes to worship for 5 minutes? Do you know what it takes to pray for 1 hour? Do you know what it takes? The reason why no fruit is coming out of what we do is that we do it without our hearts. But in vain they do worship. That's why the Bible says that the hour has come that true worshipers will worship God in spirit and in truth. For that the Father do what? He seeketh. The Father is looking for these ones. The Father is looking for these ones. He's looking for them. Many people are worshiping, but the Father is looking for a particular people. He's looking for them. Many people are praying, the Father is looking for a particular ones. He's looking. Continue. Verse 10. And said unto them, hear and understand. Come on, read it loud and clear. Not what? Not that which goeth into the mouth of a man defileth the man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth. What is coming from the heart? What is, jump to the verse 17. Jump to the verse 17. Shout it loud and clear. Verse 18. Have you seen that? But those things which proceeded out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. What defiles you? What defiles you is not what is coming from outside. It's what is coming from within. Go ahead. Blaspheme. You see that? For out of the heart, somebody say, out of my heart. From out of my heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. So number one, evil thoughts, murders, adultery. That means it doesn't matter what is happening outside. If I can protect my heart, I'm fine. The day you commit murder, it's not what happened outside. It's what happened inside. Is somebody here? I want you to understand this. It's not the lady's mini skirt that made you fornicate. No. No. What made you fornicate is really in the heart. But sometimes you say, and the lady seduced me. He said, it's not what is outside. What is inside? Anytime what is outside causes you to fall, it means that it's only a replica of what is inside. It's only a replica. This way we have to understand. Murder does not happen because somebody offended you and you want to kill the person. No, no, no. It's a seed inside. You didn't guard your heart. It dropped in some time ago and you kept maturing it in your heart. Am I here with the church? This is why the Bible says you should keep your heart. Keep it with all diligence. He said evil thoughts happens from the heart. What is inside? The condition of what is inside. That's why when I get to the point of building your heart, what to do to build your heart and to keep your heart, you should pay particular attention, because if you don't feed your heart right, the inner man right, what will happen is that it incubates things like evil thoughts. So you'll be there and you feel like you are failing the exams. How many of you, has it happened to you before? You'll be there and you feel like you are in a hospital bed. You just had an accident. Come on, come on. Do I have a witness here? That's the inner man. It's coming out. And he said, anything that comes out of the mouth, these things that comes out of the mouth, is from the heart. What the devil is waiting for is that what the heart has incubated, let the mouth speak. The moment the mouth speaks, it's established. Can I pray for somebody here? From today, may the Lord guard your heart. I said, may the Lord guard your heart. May the Lord preserve your heart. May good things be incubated in your heart. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Please be seated. Psalm 139 verse 23. I want you to know how powerful the heart is. want to go. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know what my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me. Lead me in a way everlasting. Search me, Lord, and know my heart. Do you know that when the Lord kept on saying, your heart, your heart, your heart, this was the key scripture he gave me. He said that now this is what we are going to do. You are going to pray to me to search your heart, and I will search and tell you who you really are. And then I started praying this prayer. Search my heart. Search me and know my heart. Search me and know my heart. Try me and know my thought. If there be any wicked way. That was when I knew there are things in me I didn't know. I started finding out things in me that I didn't know. I have preached against it, but I didn't know it was here. I have condemned it. And if you ask me, I'll quote scriptures of those things and condemn it. But I never knew it was there. Search my heart. Do you want to have a long walk with God and walk in glory and walk in His grace? You've got to let Him show you who you truly are. Many of us don't know us. We defend our nature, defend ourselves, defend who we are, defend that, but it's only God that can tell us. Who we are. Nathaniel was sitting under a tree. Then Jesus would mention him and say, an Israelite in whom is no guilt. That means Jesus has tapped into his heart and realized that there is no deception in Nathaniel. It's only God. Listen, this heart of yours can deceive you mightily. Deceive you mightily. Some of you don't know that you are wicked. It will take God. Most of us don't know we are liars. It will take God. Because anytime you are lying, you lie with a certain defense and excuses. So to you, you are a truthful person. But to God, you are a liar. Can I talk to somebody here? That was when I knew that I have a long way to go. Your heart. Your heart. So ministry is never about how good you are as a preacher. Ministry is never about how gifted you are as a prophet or as an apostle or as a pastor. You may be healing the sick, prophesying, yet ministry won't work because of your heart. It is when God opens your heart to you, that is when you know that you are a covetous person. You love money. You need to go back to him and tell him, like David said, search my heart. Search my heart. If God does not search your heart to give you the true picture of who you are, you may curse people very soon. You may envy people very soon. You may fight people very soon. Why is this person that? He's a criminal. He is that. You will start condemning people you shouldn't condemn. What you don't know is that there is something about your heart. There's something that you need to go before God and say, though I'm a prophet, but I don't know anything. Show me my heart. Now, some of you, the only thing you want God to show you are prophecies about other people. It's time you go back and say, Lord, show me me. Show me me. Let me know me. Let me know me. And the day God begins to open you up to you, that is where you know you are a betrayer. You have been unforgiven. You are wicked. It will shock you. One time, Jesus sits down and Mary comes to pour alabaster box at the feet of Jesus. And then there is one gentleman seated. And before he will talk, he just said that you could have sold this oil and look at his reason and given to what? The poor. Everybody seated will say, this guy has good intention. This guy is a good guy. He has good intention. It's true. The poor needs this thing, not Jesus. But before everything will be done, the Bible said, he did not care for the poor. That's what the Bible said of him. He did not care for the poor. Yet, he was saying the poor needs it. So there are times that you may preach messages that is not in your heart. Yeah. All these things, you need God to check your heart. You need God. You need God. The Bible said he did not care for the poor, but he was a thief. It will shock you that the guy didn't know he was a thief. Probably the money is with him. The way he was talking about let's give to the poor, probably the money was with him. So when his father gets sick, as if my father is part of the church. Money. But to God, it's armed robbery. The reason why, probably he didn't know. But God called him a thief. God called him a thief. There are many things that you do that you don't know you do. Why is the church so quiet? Forget about what you saw in a mirror when coming here and allow God to show you from the mirror of his word. So James will sit down and tell us that he that heareth the word of God, readeth it and forget. It's like a man that looks at himself in a mirror and goes straight away and forget what he saw. Most of you have really no idea what you truly are. That is why you don't understand why God is not blessing you. That's why you don't understand why many of us have no idea why. And you see, sometimes God will take you through certain things. You think that it's time for you to prosper. God thinks that it's time for you to work on your heart. And it's a banter between you and God. Lord, I need 1,000 congregations. I need 1,000 congregations. God is saying, no, it's time to work on your heart. You don't need 1,000 congregations. You need a heart that is right. I want $1 million. $1 million. And God have already seen your heart 20 years from now. A heart with 1,000 Ghana in the account. And a heart with $1 million in the account. God has seen it. So whilst you are calling for $1 million, God saw the condition of a heart with 1,000 Ghana and saw the condition of a heart with 1 million and realized that no, not until I cause this guy to work on his heart, 1 million will take him to hell. I won't allow. So you see, at the end of the day, looking at the condition of your heart, the way you see somebody's Land Cruiser and you go and stand on it and take a picture and put it on Facebook as though put it on Facebook as though it is yours. God has seen the way your heart was doing you when you stood beside it, and he knows the day that when you sold the steer it will look like. He knows. We've got to reverse back and start to ask the Lord, help my heart. Let me show you a scripture in 2 Chronicles 25, verse 2. 2 Chronicles 25, verse 2.
talking about a king called Amaziah. Look at what happened. The Bible said he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, but not with a perfect heart. Hey. Have you ever heard of this before? He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, but not with a perfect heart. So when you look at Amaziah like this, everybody will say this guy is doing well. But when you go to God, you tell that he is doing something that his heart is not connected to. So when this guy won his battle, his first battle as a king, when he won it, the next thing, when he was coming back with captives, he came back with their gods. Came back with their gods and set the gods up and worshipped the gods. So now you understand why God is saying that he did everything right, but his heart. You are doing everything right that you deserve a Land Cruiser, but God knows the day the Land Cruiser comes, his girls in his church will suffer. You will go out empty, but you will come back with. Amaziah went to the war, but came back with gods. You will step out with the front of the Land Cruiser empty, but you will come back with a fine damsel at the right. Oh, you are doing everything right, but beyond that is the condition of your heart. If anybody leaves this church, whether the person is angry or not, I go back to God and I say, God, if I did anything wrong, please forgive me. Please forgive me. Me, the pastor, I would rather go back to God and I'll be pleading with God, please forgive me, please forgive me. And then I come back and start doing my ministry. There are some pastors who feel entitled to every soul. So they go back and start cursing and start cursing and start cursing. No, I would rather go back to God and say, Lord, if I did anything to this person that was not right, please forgive me. After that, I've settled with him. And I go back. And I start my work. And I begin to work. I have no business with the rest. Because at the end of the day, my heart must be right with God. Most of you don't know what you are doing to yourself. You are too proud of your dirty heart. Too proud of your defiled heart. Too proud. Too proud. Too proud. The Bible said, do you know the only thing Jesus asked us to learn from him? He says that, learn from me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. I am meek and lowly in heart. He told you, benefit from me, benefit from me, benefit from me. You will get salvation from me. You will get righteousness from me. You will get blessings from me. But this one you must learn and adapt. That is meekness and lowliness of heart. You have to learn. The condition of your heart, you have to learn it. Come on, am I talking to a church here? You've got to learn it. Psalm 24, verse 2. Can we read it once to go? For he has founded upon the seas and established it upon the flats. Verse 3. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, and who shall stand in his holy place? Someone say, who shall ascend? And who shall stand? Come on, come on. Sound loud and clear. Who shall ascend? And who shall stand? It's one thing ascending, it's one thing standing. It's one thing contacting the presence of God, and one thing keeping it. Who shall ascend? And who shall stand? Now let me show you who that person is. Verse 4. He that is clean has a clean hand and what?
A pure heart who has not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. This is the one. Clean hands, pure heart. Somebody say, clean hands, pure heart. Clean hands, pure heart. Clean hands. Please, I'm letting you say it so that it enters your heart. To get a place with God and to have a stand with Him. Clean hands, pure heart. Just try it. Just try it. Just try it. Do ministry with a pure heart. Marry with a pure heart. Do business with a pure heart. Do contrast with a pure heart. Go to school with a pure heart. Study with a pure heart. Have friendship with a pure heart. And see if God will not back you in life. And see. And see. He that has not lifted up his soul unto vanity. You've got to control your soul. Your affections, your feelings. Don't lift it up unto vanity. Some things are vanity. And he spoke about me, and they were gossiping about me. I won't talk to them again. You are lifting up your soul unto vanity. What you are angry about is vanity. And for so be in this. Come on. Am I talking to a church here? Don't lift your soul unto vanity. Don't get angry for nothing. Don't walk away when you could have apologized. It's simple. Don't lift your soul unto vanity. What has caused people to fall and lose the glory of God? It's so menial, simple, little vanities have defiled our hearts over time. Simple things. Simple things. Simple things. A little money. A little money. You soiled your hands with a little money that you stole 500 Ghana cedis. You lifted up your soul to vanity. A man decided to buy you an iPhone 12 Pro. Oh, where is it now? 14. 13. iPhone 13. Because of that, you are sleeping with a man. You have lifted up your soul unto vanity. Vanity. Vanity, your hands are no more clean. Who shall ascend unto the hill of the Lord, and who shall stand? Perpetual presence. Perpetual presence. You don't need to pray to have His presence. It's with you. Perpetual presence comes with a pure heart. I pray for you. From today, the blood of Jesus cleanses your heart. Amen. I said the blood of Jesus cleanses your heart. Amen. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. You, please be seated. You need that pure heart. Matthew 5 verse 8. Can you read it? It's a short scripture. I want to go. Blessed are the pure in heart, for what? They shall see God. Simple. Gaining access to God happens with a pure heart. Your heart must be pure. In all your dealings, your heart must be pure. It was from that day the Lord started teaching me. Don't do programs for fundraising. Don't do programs for that. Don't fight for fame. Don't do anything at all. Let your heart be pure. I won't prophesy to you because I want you to love me. That's why I can finish a whole service, not prophesy to anybody. And I go my way. I don't have to crack my brain. The way this lady is wearing the scarf. Let me suggest a prophecy for her. No. That is why almost everything I tell people happens. Because it's from a pure heart. If I have not heard it, I will say. If I have not seen it, I will say. And if I tell you, it will happen because God said it. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God.
So whatever you are doing from a pure heart. You are doing it from a pure heart. You are doing from a pure heart. You are a worship leader. You are doing it from a pure heart. You are singing. You are doing from a pure heart. You are playing instrument. Doing from a pure heart. You are working in the church. Doing from a pure heart. In relationship, you are with a pure heart. Listen to me. Just be pure in heart. Just be pure. And you will see God in every aspect of your life. You will see Him. You will see Him. Every faculty of your life you approach with a pure heart, you see God in it.
Hallelujah.
You see Him. Have you not realized that every faculty of your life you play games, you can't find Him? He's not there. He's not there. If you deal with your husband with a pure heart, God will fight for you. He's the one that appeared to Joseph, to talk to Joseph, you dare not divorce Mary, because Mary was a pure girl walking about. Pure. And God has to defend her. The reason why you are defending yourself everywhere is because you have not positioned yourself in a way that God will speak for you. I will never fight anybody. I will never in my life. I will. Is it that I'm apologizing to you or I'm silent on you? I don't have that time. I don't. I won't keep anything in my heart because I need God on my side. I need God on my side. I need Him. How many of us need God on our side? Begin to operate in a pure heart. Yeah. There's a way you can operate in a pure heart that your friend will poison you. The poison won't work. It won't work. He has set me up many times, but my heart is too pure for them. And God keeps speaking. I'm telling you, God keeps speaking. God keeps helping. God keeps standing for me. If I'm smiling with you, I'm truly smiling. I'm truly smiling. If I have to rebuke you, I rebuke you. And the moment I leave, I'm forgotten. I go my way. I'm truly smiling with you. That's it. Why? Because I need God to stand for me. If you keep on fighting your battles, you will lose God. Some of you have tried to get back at people. You have tried to fight. You have tried to think. You have tried to imagine things inside of you. And because of that, you lost God in a way. And He didn't see. He tried to do things, manipulate, shake. When people defile their hearts to a point that they lose God, they begin to doubt those walking with God in realities. They begin to doubt. They begin. And if you don't keep your heart right, do you know Apostle Paul told Timothy? He said, wage a warfare over the prophecy that has gone ahead of you. Timothy, you are going to be a mighty man. You will preach. The church of Ephesus will thrive in your hands. It's a prophecy ahead of you that you will teach the gospel. But he said, wage a warfare. And then after that, he showed Timothy the kind of warfare. He said, holding on to faith and a pure conscience. Not just faith, a pure conscience. Having a pure heart is a weapon. Come on, is somebody here with me at all? Having a pure heart is a weapon. It's a word of warfare. And the next verse is that holding on to faith and a pure conscience. Let people say you are a fool. It's your weapon. The Bible said, and Moses was the meekest man on earth. That was his weapon. Pure in heart. God told Moses that I want to start a nation with you. Let me kill all these people and start a nation with you. If I were Moses, I would say they frustrated me enough. Sir, let's go ahead. Moses said, you better kill me than to kill these people.
Remember, these people have insulted him. Remember, these people have betrayed him. Remember, these people have attacked him. Yet, he said, for you to kill these people, kill me. The Bible says, and Moses was the meekest man on earth. He was. Pure heart. Pure heart. This is where prophecies begin to happen. Pure heart. Serve God with a pure heart. Holding the mystery of faith in a pure conscience. Hold it. Hold it. Washing your conscience with the word daily. Allowing the Holy Spirit to rebirth in you the life of God. And then constantly being under the sprinkling of the blood. This is how you keep a pure heart. Constantly with the consciousness of the sprinkling of God's blood, the blood of Jesus over your life. Number two, you wash your conscience with the word of the living God. The Bible said that it's sharper than two-edged sword, discerning even to the marrow of our bones and the intents of our heart. It's the word of the living God that reveals ourselves to us. You allow yourself to go down into scriptures until your life is revealed to you. One of my major transformations in my walk with God was in Matthew chapter 5. When I studied the whole chapter, it changed a lot about my life. It's only the word of God that can discern and pierce into your heart and cause you to discern the intents of your heart. Only the word of God. And you need the Spirit to keep supplying the life of God inside of you. You need the Holy Spirit to keep doing that. And then, when you get these three working for you, the blood, the word, and the spirit, the sign that you have a pure heart, finally, in the next 2 minutes, you'll be awake, leaving this church. So let me tell you, everybody, please look intently at me. The sign that you are developing a pure heart, it's a heart that genuinely wants Jesus exalted. A heart that genuinely wants Jesus extolled. A heart that genuinely wants Jesus honored. If God wants to judge your heart, that your heart is pure, it starts from this. A heart that longs to see Jesus glorified. You live your life not because you are looking for something, but because you want Jesus glorified. Apostle Paul said that I was chosen when I was in my mother's womb that Jesus will be revealed in me. So you are intentional about your life. The reason why you can't dupe, the reason why you can't be gossiping, the reason why you can't practice witchcraft, the reason why you can't do what the world does, it's simple, because Jesus must be glorified. You are an image projecting the reality of who Jesus is. That's where the purity of heart stems from. Having no business at all with yourself, but all of him. If any man will follow me, let him deny himself and follow me. This is my message for you today. How do you judge that your heart is becoming purer and purer and purer? You want to do business because of Jesus. You want to excel in that exam because of Jesus. You want to live and live perfectly because of Jesus. You are winning souls because of Jesus. You are doing what you do because of Jesus. This is where the purity of our hearts are judged. You come to church because of him. If you are a preacher, you preach because of him. Adiko Basi Ataka. Lift up your hands and your voice. Say after me. Say, Lord Jesus, here am I. Search me and create in me a new heart. Lift up your voice now.
Of me and purify me. Purify me. Create.
Be personal with God. Be personal.
For listening to Pastor Ajuman Elvis. For inquiries, send us a mail on pastorelvis@gracemountainministry.org. For questions relating to relationships and marriage, send us a mail on loveclinic@elvisajuman.org. You can also send your testimonies via testimonies@elvisajuman.org. For offerings, visit www.payalpha.org. For more information, make sure you subscribe to this podcast to receive new messages every single day. Remember, faith cometh from hearing, and hearing the word of God. Stay blessed.
We believe you've been blessed by this sermon. For inquiries, please call +233 26 767 6055, +233 26 767 6055, or send an email to info@godswordforus.com. info@godswordforus.com.